Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, we've got a question that's very fresh. It's just come out of a sermon that you just completed. It was on Ephesians 6:16 is what the question is based on when it you talked putting on the shield of faith.
Mm-hmm. Taking up the shield of faith, right.
That Paul is talking about. So let me ask this question of you. During the sermon on Ephesians 6:16, you said we need to remind ourselves when the flaming arrows come, that's the imagery that Paul uses, that the sin that we struggle with is not us, but that Christ is in us. This is a hard concept for me to grasp. I'm a new Christian. Can you talk about this more?
Yeah, this is a great question. I really appreciate the opportunity to answer this. Because it's this gets to the very heart of the gospel and our gospel identity, and it gets to a source for us of incredible joy and peace and just confidence in as we live and deal with difficulties on this battlefield, the spiritual battlefield. What I was driving at there, and first, let me lay some groundwork here about temptations and, you know, these flaming arrows of the evil one. He shoots at us, and he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we can be drawn away from the Lord, you know, weaknesses of greed or self-pity or lust, anger, and so it's like those are, you know, here's my arrow of anger, and it's flaming, and he shoots it at us. And so what I meant by that statement was, if you're hit with an arrow of anger or whatever it may be, what the devil wants to convince us of is that that really is what you are. You are an angry person. You are a lust bucket. You are just a greedy person. You're so caught up in materialism. You're just a self-pitying pity pot, you know, whatever it is. But so the devil wants us to think that that thought, that discouragement, that that is coming from within us. It's rising up. And this is just the definition of who you are. And you aren't worth spit, you know, as a Christian. So that's the devil's trickery there in firing these arrows.
So in other words, I think this is worth a pause. The temptation there is to listen to that and say, this is actually who I am.
Right. I am a miserable excuse.
And it won't change. It will
Correct.
Not. It will never
Correct.
Change. Can't be stopped, broken, changed, because it's fundamentally who I am. It's my very nature. It's what I will do.
Right. And that's the deception of these flaming arrows, because to convince us that this stuff is coming up from within us, and it's just, you know, devil didn't want to even seen in these things. But so shield of faith comes up. What am I doing with the shield of faith? I'm reminding myself that no. I am a new creature in Christ. I've died to the old self. It was crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, you know, this, if I might put it this way, we were outside of Christ. We were chained, you know, wrist to wrist, leg to leg, with sinful flesh. And we fed that flesh, and it was our identity. And when Christ died, set us free, you know, we've embraced the gospel, those chains were severed. And so I am no longer chained to my flesh. Now, wait a minute. I got all these crazy desires in me. What are you talking about? Before God, I am no longer defined by that flesh, that sinful flesh. I've been separated from that, and I've been now, as it were, yoked to Christ. and my life is defined by who he is, what he has done. That's where I live now, and Christ is in me. But the flesh, although I'm unchained from that, those bonds have been cut, it still follows me around, and it still wants to be fed. And that's what the devil is able to inflame in us, these old desires. I'm not judged by those. I'm not held, if I give in, and I will get to that in a moment. But I'm not condemned by my sin anymore. Christ was condemned for me. And this is, I think, one of the most difficult things in the gospel to really comprehend, because we live with weakness. We live with failure in the Christian life. But the good news of the gospel is I am a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. That's the reality I'm living in. I have the affection of the Father on me. I have the forgiveness of God on my life. Now, that doesn't mean I can't sin and mess up and get the discipline of the Father. But just as Scripture speaks, as a father or mother disciplines a child, so God disciplines us. No parent's going to kick the kid out of the house. You're a screw up, and we don't want you anymore. You're no longer our child. No, I mean, that's not what happens. No, I'm going to discipline you because you are my child and because I love you. And that's the discipline of God, which a lot of times we read as God hates me or something. Mm-hmm. No, God loves you, and that's why he disciplines us. But I am a child of God. I am a son. I'm a daughter, and nothing can change that. That's the amazing news of the gospel. That's the power and the source of joy and hope and confidence for us. So the devil fires something at us. I wake up this morning and maybe I'm thinking, I don't even know if God exists. God doesn't love me. My mind is just filled with all these doubts. I raise a shield of faith. I go to Scripture. What does Scripture say to me about who Christ is and what Christ has done for me, how Christ has brought me into the love and the affection of the Father, into the very throne room of grace? That really is where I get to live. So, when it comes to temptations then, 1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks about God is faithful. First of all, verse 12, therefore let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We walk around with humility, not pride. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is, so if you're being tempted by something, you're not the only one being tempted with that. There's a little comfort in that. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That takes some really, deep pondering, because sometimes we think there's no way. I'm just being whipped by this, anger problem, self-pity, greed, lust, whatever it may be. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so notice it's a temptation that comes to us, and it's not so much us, but it is something we can escape from. So it's a scenario here of, wow, I'm in a dangerous place with this temptation, but it's not who I am, because you can't escape from who you are. Only God can set us free from who we are. But we can escape from this because we're not that temptation. We are those who are in Christ. Another passage that's very instructive on this is James 1, 13 through 15, where James says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. The devil tempts, and a temptation is always to trip us up. It's always to make us fall. God tests us in order to purify faith, in order to draw us to himself, but God doesn't tempt us with evil. But then James goes on, James 1:14, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. You see that flesh, we start paying attention to it. Mm. But that's not sin, okay? Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So this, you know, these dark thoughts I might have about God, or, you know, whatever this, you know, raging desire is in me, that in itself, right then and there, is not the sin. It's a desire, and now I have to do something with it. And if I let it conceive, you know, in other words, if I let it grow in me and develop, that's going to lead to sin. And so what I need to do with that, when that desire first hits me, instead of feeding my flesh, which, you know, the flesh is saying, this is what I want, you know, feed me, feed me, feed me, say, no, that is not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. I belong to Jesus. He is my life. And so I'm going to take this desire, whatever it is, and I'm going to give it to Jesus. And Lord, with the draw, the power of this desire in me, Lord, would you help me to desire you with this? Yeah. And so we transfer for ownership. We take it away from the devil, take it away from flesh, and we give that to Jesus. But, you know, that's the dilemma, because, you know, sometimes we feel like, gosh, I'm hit with all these terrible thoughts. Am I a sicko? Am I the worst Christian ever? And I would say, no, you're not. Remember Jesus, even Jesus was tempted. And, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon him at the baptism, you know, this launches his earthly ministry. And the Spirit takes him out into the wilderness, and after 40 days, he's hungry, and the devil comes and tempts Jesus. And the first thing he does is he tempts him with bread. Well, he's, you know, turned stones into bread. And, you know, Jesus, you know, he's 40 days fasting. He's terribly hungry. But he refuses to use his own powers to serve himself. Then the devil takes him and shows him all the nations of the world, and says, all this authority, it's mine. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the nations. Just bow down and worship me. Well, here's a shortcut to the cross. You know, Jesus is going to be Lord of the nations. Wow. I can get it right now without having to go through this, this horrible, cross event in front of me. But he doesn't, because you worship only God. And then of course, you know, well, if you're the Son of Man, you know, prove it, prove it to everybody, jump off the temple and trust that God will bear you up. And it's, again, it's a misuse of God's presence in his life and the power that is his. But that ends with a very interesting phrase, this whole temptation narrative, that the devil left him until an opportune time. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't see the devil coming and tempting Jesus again, but the devil must have until an opportune time. And so was Jesus sinful that he was even able to be tempted? No. You see, that's not who he is. He wasn't the sin. He wasn't the one who's going to bow down and worship something other than God. He wasn't one set on self, to just satisfy self. And he wasn't about having to prove himself, you know, out of pride. He wasn't those things. And so when those things hit us, you know, that doesn't mean we're that thing. We may be tempted to pride and to selfishness, just as Jesus was. And so Jesus, of course, raised the shield of faith, his faith in God, the Father, and who the Lord is, and what it meant to be, to humble himself and serve the Lord's purposes. The obedience of faith certainly was there. So Jesus, in a way, forms a pattern for us. So putting this hopefully on the cookies on the lower shelf here. So I'm tempted, you know, I'm tempted to do something selfish today. Serve myself, you know, maybe diss somebody, you know, put somebody down in order to elevate myself. Be angry at somebody in order to, you know, show myself righteous. that's not the sin. Now, if I let that burn in me, if I let that develop and develop into a plan, and then I act out on that plan, that's the sin. Mm-hmm. But just as Jesus in the wilderness was shot at flaming arrows of the evil one, do this, do that, you know, we can raise the shield of faith, because that is not itself. The suggestion, the temptation is not the sin itself. It's acting it out, going with it. And so there's a huge distinction to make there. And sometimes it's really difficult in the moment. Because where we are, you know, we give space to these doubts and temptations, and we mull them over, and you know, we think through, and all the while we're letting it, in the language of James 1, we're letting it conceive and give birth in us. And that's why when I said in the sermon, this necessity of almost pre-decision and quickly responding to that by getting the shield of faith up, so that it doesn't lodge in us and burn and develop to become sin. Mm. So I hope that helps. Somewhat of a ramble here, but...
I think it's really wise for us to pause and come back to that. That's such an important concept, and it would have been easy to pass through that section of Scripture quickly. I'm glad you didn't. Will you pray for us?
I will. Father, Lord, thank you for this really good question. And Lord, every one of us is there. We're all dealing with the flaming arrows of the evil one, the temptations to doubt you and to depart from the truth of your word, Lord, to serve ourselves and get what we can get in this life. And Father, where we are tempted today, may we be a community of shield bearers who know how to raise the shield of faith in Jesus and stand in our identity in Christ. And Lord, to raise that shield over others as well, that to become encouragers of one another, that we would stand firm in the evil day with brothers and sisters who are also standing firm. And Lord, would you just confirm your word in the life of your congregation today, life of this people you love, that their lives, our lives, are hidden in you, Father, through Jesus Christ, who is our life. Lord, what a mystery that is. Help us to understand that, to live out of the joy and the confidence of that you have loved us, and that there is nothing now that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who we are, Lord, as your people, loved and forgiven and accepted, and Lord, a people of the Lord Jesus. And for that, we give you thanks. Amen.